Hello, and welcome to our program, Senior Living, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Chrissy Mernon. During this next half hour, I'm reading articles from AARP, the magazine, here on OWL Radio. And this story is the Texas Elder Murders, Unnatural Causes. Authorities believe a psychopath murdered nearly two dozen older women in the Dallas area, largely at independent living facilities, starting in 2016. Despite mountains of evidence of suspicious deaths over 2 years, police, medical examiners, and the facility's staff initially wrote off the homicides as death by natural causes and failed to investigate. Was it because the victims were too old? By Lise Olson, The Shock. Lou Thee Harris liked to dress up when she went out, even for a Walmart shopping run. On March 20th, 2018, Harris freshened her bright pink lipstick, then slipped on a gold and jade necklace along with a few other favorite pieces of jewelry. The slim Vietnamese-American widow, Kim, to her friends and family, had moved to a house on Warm Breeze Lane in Dallas with her husband Bill in 2003 and stayed on after his death a few years later. A spry 81, Harris was known as fun and friendly. She gave away $2 bills as good luck gifts, which she did so often that she ordered them from the bank in bundles, her son-in-law later recalled. She was just a hoot to be around, he said. But on that day, in 2018, Harris didn't seem to notice the bald, clean-shaven male shopper wearing neatly pressed slacks and a collared shirt standing in an adjacent checkout line at Walmart. The man blended into the background like a security guard, probably because he'd once worked as one. He exited the parking lot first and drove away in a gray sedan, security footage later showed. Harris went home. A few hours later, police, following a tip, arrived and discovered her lifeless body on the bed. It looked, at first, as if Harris had passed away peacefully in her sleep. The front door had been locked and her cozy home was intact, stuffed with her late husband's vast collection of model airplanes. But gone were her own prized possessions, her collection of lucky $2 bills, her gold necklace with its jade pendant, her rings, and her oversized red jewelry box with drawers full of jade, gold, and other treasures, including papers that showed her journey from a restaurant owner and mother in Vietnam to a U.S. military veteran's wife in Texas. Her house keys had disappeared, too. The clue to foul play was discovered on the underside of a pillow, a smudge of Harris's magenta lipstick on the polka-dotted case. Later, a Dallas County pathologist found patterns of tiny red dots on her skin known as petechiae and other subtle signs around her eyes and throat that he determined to be indications she was asphyxiated. The most likely murder weapon? Her pillow. A homicide investigation began immediately. Within days, high-ranking law enforcement leaders in the Dallas area, including the district attorneys of Dallas and Collin counties, gathered for an unusual press conference and made a shocking announcement. It appeared that Lou Thee Harris was not the only older widow to be stalked and smothered for her jewelry, but just one of many. With TV cameras rolling, officials admitted that a serial killer had been stalking older Dallas and Plano women for at least 2 years in a previously undetected crime spree that could include hundreds of cases. Detectives in Dallas, the sprawling suburb of Plano, and the smaller cities of Richardson and Frisco had already begun reviewing older Texans' deaths connected to jewelry thefts to determine if those deaths, all deemed natural at the time, were in fact homicides. The Dallas Police Department alone planned to examine at least 750 recent deaths, an admittedly monumental task, said Dallas Assistant Police Chief David Pews. Pews revealed they had already identified a suspect, Billy Shermermeer, the man who had been surveilling Harris at Walmart and was arrested with her jewelry clutched in his hand. Shermermeer had worked in home health care for years, and cell phone tracking suggests he surveilled older victims in parking lots and upscale retirement complexes. He was looking for expensive jewelry and plotting his access and exit routes to and from their homes and apartments. He often pretended to be a maintenance man to gain entry, authorities said. over the following months, a series of horrific phone calls went out to sons, daughters, and other relatives all across North Dallas and beyond. They had long ago buried loved ones who were assumed to have passed away peacefully. Lauren Adair Smith heard from a Dallas homicide detective in April 2018. Her mother, Phyllis Payne, had died 2 years earlier. "I have some shocking news for you," the officer said. "We believe she may not have died of natural causes." I said, "If this is a joke, this is really sick," Adair Smith recalls. It wasn't. Shay Mir, then in Dallas County Jail on $1 million bond, eventually faced a long list of capital murder charges in Dallas and Collin counties. He repeatedly proclaimed his innocence. "I just can't believe this," he said. "Where I come from, our culture, we don't even think about murder." His first trial for Harris's murder in November 2021 ended in a hung jury. But in his second trial on the same facts 5 months later, a new jury convicted him after deliberating for 45 minutes. The families of other people Shay Mir allegedly killed were not sure they'd ever get their day in court. So they gathered to hear the verdict. Among them, M.J. Jennings, whose mother, Leah Corkin, is one of 13 victims named in Dallas County indictments. Elated, ecstatic, thrilled, relieved, Jennings texted, "Finally, some justice. It was so wonderful to hear guilty." Shay Mamir is now in prison serving two sentences of life without parole for the murder of Lou T. Harris, and another verdict was handed down on October 7th for the murder of Mary Sue Brooks. He faces additional murder charges in two counties for killing 20 more victims, all in similar circumstances. Victims' families believe he is also linked to two more deaths for which he has not been indicted. His days of freedom may be past, but his case poses a troubling question that goes far beyond Texas. Assuming authorities are correct in their assertions that Shay Mamir is guilty of dozens of murders, how could such a brazen crime spree unfold over the course of 2 years, presenting case after unsolved case, sending more and more families into unending grief without alarms being raised by police or the facilities charged with the protection of those victims? Our shocking conclusion? Because the victims were old. AARP asked me to investigate the alleged murders of these older Americans whose ages range from 76 to 94. Over 18 months, I sifted through thousands of pages of court records, police reports, and witness statements, and interviewed dozens of relatives, lawyers, police, and others. Ultimately, two things became clear. First, while Shay Mir has been convicted of just two murders so far, the evidence against him for those and other cases is overwhelming and compelling. Second, the criminal justice system and the adult living complexes entrusted with protecting these victims' health and safety appear to be blinded to the crimes by a fatal strain of ageism. In almost every case, investigators fail to collect fingerprints or DNA evidence, order autopsies, or photograph crime scenes, all standard death investigation practices, particularly when paired with a theft or burglary report, as was the case with nearly every homicide in this grim procession. Time and again, the deaths were attributed to heart attacks and strokes. Doris Gleason's suspicious death in 2016 was instantly attributed to natural causes. As her daughter Shannon Dion puts it, the mentality of it was they were old and they just died. The most damning admission of an ageist and uncaring system came from Jeffrey Barnard, M.D., medical examiner for Dallas County. In Shay Mir's first trial, he conceded that his office rarely orders autopsies for anyone over 65. Instead, thousands of unattended deaths outside a hospital with no doctor present are handled by phone, even those involving robberies or burglaries. Otherwise, he asserted, the workload would be overwhelming. No office can handle that. So you have decisions based on those cases, the findings, and the medical history. Barnard and his office, as well as the Collin County Medical Examiner, declined to comment for this story, citing ongoing investigations. When crime rates are rising in the major cities, the police and medical examiners would rather expend their forces on other crimes rather than on the death of someone who's reaching their expiration date, concludes Mitchell Roth, a criminal justice professor at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas, and an expert on serial killers who has reviewed the facts of the case. A police force also hates to admit there may be a serial perpetrator out there because it reflects badly on them. And the same is true of an upscale living facility. News of serial killing there is bad for business. The beginning. Who did the killer target? Widows, mostly, women living alone, but women of means with the resources to pay for what they believed was safe housing. Most of the alleged murders, plus two attempted murders, described in indictments against Shay Mir, were committed in upscale senior independent living complexes. These places are heavily marketed to buyers as secure places to retire to, and they aren't cheap. One rented apartments for $4,000 a month, and another required residents to buy in for as much as $1 million. But court records and police reports show that for the 2 years prior to Shay Mir's arrest, the murder victims were robbed of tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry, including wedding rings and large collections of gold, diamonds, and coins, as well as two safes. All too often, administrators at those complexes ignored the crimes and, most important, failed to warn other residents about intruders, home invasions, and major thefts. Shay Mir was not dumb, says Dallas lawyer Trey Crawford, who represents 13 victims' families. He knew which facilities to go to, the target-rich environments that do not have robust safety and security measures. We counted 30 or 40 suspicious deaths within a 5 to 10-mile radius of where Shay Mir lived. Billy Kip Korer Shay Mir, 49, could face trial for another 20 murders. A Kenyan-born immigrant, he held a series of short-term home health aid jobs during his 15-plus years as a legal permanent U.S. resident. He was comfortable around older people. His father lived to be 100, and he had years of experience caring for older, fragile people in private homes and upscale apartments. After working through healthcare agencies, he grew tired of paying commissions and began recruiting his own clients. When first questioned by a Dallas County homicide detective in March 2018, Shay Mir explained away his presence at crime scenes by insisting he was simply soliciting health care work. Yet before his 2018 arrest, Shay Mir was known to Dallas police as a small-time criminal with prior arrest and stints in jail for domestic assault, drunk driving, and trespassing. In the domestic assault case, he'd been convicted after admitting to beating an ex-girlfriend with a frying pan following the night of drinking at a Dallas club. At some point, Shay Mir began to use a fake ID with the name Benjamin Koidaba, which allowed him to work at a Dallas home health agency that required a background check he could not have passed under his real name. That company communicated with him only as Koidaba, and Shay Mir frequently took short nighttime assignments. From 2016 to 2018, records show that Shay Mir roamed the hallways and parking lots of at least three upscale senior living complexes where sudden deaths occurred. He was repeatedly stopped and questioned as an intruder, but then left free to continue. We believe one of his techniques was looking for women who walked their dogs or used walkers and needed extra time coming in their doors, says attorney Ali Olinger, who worked with Trey Crawford to investigate the murders on behalf of victims' families. Chris Bianez, a Plano police officer who specializes in crime prevention and is familiar with the murders, notes that the serial killer didn't rely on fancy burglary tools or technology. It is in precisely these kind of cases, he says, that standard crime prevention techniques, like posting flyers to alert residents about an intruder, could have worked. He was committing robberies, but mainly he was able to access residents by just knocking on the door and posing as a maintenance worker or using some other way to gain their trust. As Dallas County District Attorney John Crezot said in the October trial for the murder of Mary Brooks, Shay Mir had a fundamentally different approach to his job. We go to work to produce, says Crezot. He goes to work to kill, strip, steal, sell. Though Shay Mimir repeatedly made unauthorized forays into senior living complexes for years before the murders were detected, he was arrested only once for trespassing at the Edgemere retirement community where authorities believe the murder spree began. Catherine Sinclair, M.D., had a successful medical practice. A U.S. Army veteran, she'd worked in hospitals in several states. Near the end of her career, she and her husband shared a sprawling home in Pennsylvania and had the means to collect gold and precious gems on regular trips to the Virgin Islands. She was still working ER shifts when her husband contracted cancer and then died. For a while, Sinclair kept rattling around their big old house. Then one day, she called her beloved niece in Texas and said, "You know, this isn't really working for me." That niece, Jane Fold, and a nephew, Dan Probst, talked their aunt into moving closer to their families in Texas in 2014. Together, they settled on Edgemere near the exclusive Dallas neighborhood of Highland Park. The place was luxurious. It offered condos for as much as $1 million, as well as exceptional cuisine, a putting green, a jewelry cleaning service, an oversized pool, an upscale salon, and a spa. "It was as nice as any five-star hotel," says Probe. "I mean, dinner was served on cloth tablecloths with flowers on the table and candles, and they would fix anything special you ordered." Sinclair soon settled in. She used a walker, but as far as her niece and nephew knew, took no medicine at all. She dined with them in early April 2016, and the 87-year-old had seemed in perfect health. So both were astonished when they were notified only a week later that their aunt had died. When they entered her apartment, things got stranger. "We saw blood on the bed," Probst recalls. "What's more, their aunt's oversized safe with her collection of gold, loose diamonds, and fine jewelry was gone." He and his sister insisted the Dallas Police Department open a homicide investigation, even though the Dallas County Medical Examiner quickly attributed Sinclair's death to natural causes. A robbery detective was assigned but didn't return calls for about a month. The Dallas Police Department, which had about 500 retirements in 2016, was regularly rotating that detective and other robbery and homicide detectives to patrol shifts. As for Edgemere, civil court records indicate that security guards detected several intruders in the independent living facility that year, but didn't always summon police or immediately review security camera footage. Sinclair is now believed by her family to be Shay Mimir's first victim, but her case remained unsolved and had already been officially attributed to natural causes when another Edgemere resident, Phyllis Payne, died the next month. At 91, Payne was still vibrant, a ball of energy, according to her daughter, Lauren Adair Smith, who lived nearby. Payne's brunette hair remained naturally dark, and she rarely complained of aches or illnesses. In fact, Payne provided welcome support to Adair Smith, whose husband had terminal cancer. "She was my best friend, and we talked every day," says Adair Smith, adding that she often invited her mother on family trips, including one to a beach in Gulf Shores, Alabama, in May 2016. But Payne was too busy to go on the trip. "Not this time," she had said. "I have too much going on." Payne loved hanging out with members of her longtime bridge club in Edgemere's party room and spent hours fussing over the menu and the seating arrangements. Adair Smith called her mother en route to Alabama and learned the gathering had been a success. Payne crowed that both the food and her cards had been really good. Adair Smith was dipping her toes into the warm waters in Gulf Shores on May 14th when she got another call. "Mom died," her brother said. "What? I just talked to her. What do you mean?" said Adair Smith, sinking to her knees on the sand. Adair Smith rushed back to Dallas, where her mother's tidy apartment appeared undisturbed. Only later, as she began packing up flatware and cleaning the fridge, did she notice the missing valuables. Pieces of silver, a coffee can her mom always kept in the refrigerator, a hiding place for her 18-karat gold jewelry. Adair Smith reported the theft to the police and the complex administrators, but again, no one reviewed security footage, no real investigation materialized, and Payne was declared to have died of natural causes. The Edgemere's failure to alert its residents or take steps to protect them after the two deaths reflects a pattern that would emerge elsewhere. A former Edgemere executive later alleged in a civil lawsuit that the company cut corners and security and put residents at serious risk of bodily harm. On April 19th, about a month before Payne's murder, Shay Mirmir was found by police roaming the halls at Edgemere and formally warned to leave and stay away. He returned anyway and was arrested and charged with trespassing on June 18th of 2016, less than 2 weeks after the third victim at the complex, 94-year-old Phoebe Berry, was found dead in her unit. She, too, was missing valuables and pronounced dead of natural causes. Shay Mirmir was sentenced to 70 days in jail but released after only 12. Incredibly, neither police nor administrators made the connection between the deaths, the thefts, and the serial trespasser. Edgemere did retain its security footage and much later was able to help police link Shay Mirmir to Payne's murder. Its owners also improved security, adding hundreds of cameras. But all that came well after three of its residents and many other women elsewhere were already dead. Think of all the people who could have been saved over the next 2 years if there had been some connection made to that man, Adair Smith now laments. Indeed, within a few days of his release, it appeared that the killer moved on to the Tradition Prestonwood Senior Living, another luxury independent living complex just minutes away in North Dallas. Sudden deaths, missing rings. Tradition Prestonwood Senior Living, the flagship of a Dallas-based company, beckoned customers with manicured lawns and beautiful magnolia trees. Marketing literature promised 24/7 access control and a cutting-edge security and visitor management system, a lure for both older couples and widows like Joyce Abramowitz, who moved there from her comfortable home in Dallas. Other residents moved there from across the country to live closer to adult children and grandchildren. Security cameras ensured their safety, residents were told, and concierge conducted rounds to check for irregularities like propped open exterior doors. In April 2016, the same month as Sinclair's murder, Abramowitz reported to police that while she was away on a 3-week vacation, someone had entered her apartment number 208 and removed more than $3,500 worth of items from a jewelry box, including an opal heart pendant with diamonds, a white gold pendant, a sapphire ring, and an antique bracelet. She feared it might be a maid since police found no sign of a break-in. Tradition's written policy was to have its management investigate thefts, though residents could also call police, as Abramowitz did. No one was charged. The crime remained unsolved when a second burglary occurred on July 18th. An intruder made off with a safe Abramowitz had bought after the previous burglary and a jewelry collection worth roughly $5,000. This time, Abramowitz could provide no more information. She was dead. But authorities again dismissed her sudden and unexplained death as natural, and no autopsy was ordered. Over the next 18 months, 8 more residents in the complex died under similarly suspicious circumstances. All of their homes had been burglarized, according to public records and interviews, and several victims were missing their wedding rings. One of them was Juanita Purdy, a hale, outgoing 83-year-old featured on the complex's Facebook page. 2 weeks after Abramowitz died, Tradition Prestonwood's facilities director, a jovial man named Edmundo Sanchez, discovered Purdy dead in bed. When her daughter Diana Tannery arrived that Sunday, Sanchez declared that Purdy had died peacefully in her sleep. But the same modus operandi came to light. Tannery quickly discovered that the box in which her mother kept her wedding ring was empty. In tears, she began to clean out the apartment and found a recent appraisal confirming that items worth more than $20,000 were missing from her mother's jewelry collection. Administrators assured Tannery the burglary would be investigated internally, but they sent out no alerts to residents about that crime or others, and Tannery never got any updates. How much has to happen before they let the residents know that, hey, something's going on, Tannery asked. 3 weeks later, Leah Corkin, an 83-year-old widow who'd spent the previous day shopping at the mall, was found dead in her unit at the same complex, lying face down on the floor in her living room with her body laid out in an oddly straight line. Her wedding ring was missing. Her daughter, MJ Jennings, knew her mother loved that ring, which had been reset by a jeweler during the years the family lived in Brazil. And she never took that off, says Jennings, never ever. Sanchez, the facility's director, told Jennings, who arrived minutes after she'd been notified of her mom's death, that old people misplace things and then suggested she check her mother's panty drawer for the missing ring. Police reports and interviews indicate that tradition often relied on Sanchez, who moonlighted as a pastor, to speak with families and first responders during the complex's 2016 wave of robberies and deaths. Less than 2 weeks after Corkin's death, another body was found, that of Margaret White, 87, also a widow who lived on the fourth floor at Tradition. Her jewelry boxes had been emptied. As the body count grew, the police apparently considered it business as usual for older people, even those in upscale, higher security independent housing. Death investigation procedures, routine for younger victims in Dallas, were not followed in most cases, later identified as murders and attributed to Shay Mirmir. Officers did not take photos, collect forensic evidence, or dust for fingerprints. The county medical examiner did not send investigators to most death scenes. Police finally launched a murder investigation of sorts when Solomon Spring, an 89-year-old grandfather, possibly Shay Mirmir's only male victim, was discovered dead in his apartment at Tradition by his daughter, Marcia Rep. Like Corkin, he lived on the complex's fourth floor. Crime scene photos show his bedroom and bath contained extensive but unexplained blood trails, an out-of-place lamp, and a piece of wood that suggested a worker had entered the apartment, though no maintenance had been ordered. Instead, items of value were missing, too, including a watch and a ring he rarely wore. That investigation ended when the medical examiner listed the death as accidental, the result of a fall. By October 1, 2016, it appears, the killer had struck 8 times in a matter of months, 3 at Edgemere near the exclusive Dallas neighborhood of Highland Park, and 5 at Tradition Prestwood in North Dallas. Administrators at Tradition Prestwood knew that 4 apparently healthy widows and 1 man had died suddenly there, and all were missing jewelry. But it took a 6th unexpected death at the Tradition complex in a 3-month span, again involving a widow and a stolen wedding ring, before the Dallas Police Department mounted its first major theft investigation. Blame the ENTs. Norma French, 85, a proud alumna of the University of Texas, went away in September to visit her daughter, Ellen French House, in Indiana, but made a point to return home to Tradition by Saturday, October 8th of 2016. There was no way she was missing a UT football game against their arch rival, the Oklahoma Sooners. She considered going in person, but ultimately decided to watch on TV. French House knew her mom probably wasn't happy with the outcome. Her beloved Longhorns lost a hard-fought game, 45-40, but even that didn't explain why French failed to answer her phone afterward. Her adult children requested a welfare check, and complex employees found her prone on the floor next to the TV. They summoned a paramedic, but it was already too late. French House was so upset that she insisted her siblings take and send to her photos of her mother's body. She immediately noticed her mother's wedding ring was missing. Her ring finger was red and swollen. The ring appeared to have been forcibly removed, French House thought. She and her siblings kept calling the Dallas Police Department until a detective was finally assigned to the case. Sanchez, who still worked for Tradition at press time, responded to questions from 2 Dallas police officers about the theft of French's jewelry, and he referred to the other recent unattended death. But if he had concerns about the unusually high number, he apparently did not share them with the investigators, who made no mention of that in their report. Sanchez did not return calls for comment for this article, but in an email, Tradition responded that allegations that staff withheld any information are absolutely false. In her conversation with police, French House passed on a tip she'd gotten from Tradition employees, several of whom suggested to her that paramedics had taken the ring. The Dallas officers investigating the theft apparently bought that angle and launched an internal affairs investigation rather than a broader criminal probe. That theft case was still open a week later when Glenna Day, 87, was found dead in her fourth floor apartment at Tradition. Sanchez assured Day's daughter, Cheryl Kerr, that her mother must have fallen ill while painting and then climbed back into bed. God took her, he told Kerr. Well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to continue this next time we get together. You've been listening to Senior Living on Al Radio. You can listen to Al Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.alradio.org. Thanks for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 this evening. I'm Chrissy Mernon saying goodbye from Al Radio.